What's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses, community builder at Strongtowns, and welcome to It's the Little Things, a Strongtowns podcast where in each episode, we focus on a different action that you, the concerned citizen, the elected official, the city planner, can take to make your town stronger. This episode's action? Spreading the Strongtowns message locally. Flashback to summer 2015, when we created our first formal strategic plan for Strongtowns. We created our mission, how we hope to accomplish it, and most important, identified our primary strategy that would drive our efforts as an organization. That the change we seek will occur when a million Americans care enough to share our message with others, and that our efforts are to create those million people. As a small team, we know what we're good at, using our media, events, and network to spread the Strongtowns message as broadly as possible, to reach a million people. But to get those million people to share our message, that can be more challenging. That's why in early 2018, we created our local conversations, where Strongtowns readers and members who share a geography step up and meet either online or in person to discuss how Strongtowns concepts can make their own cities and towns stronger and spread the message locally. These groups are essential to helping Strongtowns achieve its mission. And as you'll learn in this episode, anyone, from citizens to leaders, professionals to neighbors, and everyone in between, has the ability and expertise to step up and create a local conversation, wherever they live. In this episode, I chat with Jordan Deffenbaugh. He's the primary organizer of a Sioux Falls, South Dakota-based local conversation called Strongtown Sioux Falls. The local conversation started in June of 2018, and what started as just two guys meeting every week at a local coffee shop has grown into an enthusiastic group of strong citizens who are building a foundation on Strongtown's concepts, of course, but more important, are reclaiming Sioux Falls as a place where everyone can play a role in making the city stronger. In this episode, we'll discuss how you, no matter your background, can spread the Strongtown's message locally, in particular through local conversations, including how to spread the vision among your neighbors, how to give your neighbors a sense of ownership in the process, and most important, how to get into the nitty-gritty of actually making your city or town stronger. Enjoy. Jordan, what's good, man? How are you today?
Doing fine. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. How's life in Sioux Falls?
Oh, it's all right. Chilling out a little bit. We're getting into December, but it's not too bad.
Good, man. I'm happy to hear it. Yeah. Well, Jordan, we got a great action to unpack together today, and that is spreading the Strongtowns message locally. Mm-hmm. And Jordan, I can't think of a better guest to help us unpack this topic than yourself, man. You're the primary organizer of a new yet thriving local conversation happening in Sioux Falls. And listeners, if that term is new for y'all, a local conversation is groups of Strongtowns readers and members who understand the Strongtowns message, understand how it translates to their own cities and towns and how the message can make their own cities and towns stronger, and then are step up and meeting locally, whether it's in Sioux Falls or here in Denton, Texas, to talk about how we can make our own town stronger. And Jordan, you're doing some dope stuff with the Sioux Falls folk that I know we're going to get into in this podcast. And
yeah,
to get us started, I'd love to start by just hearing your story, Jordan. Like, what got you from doing life in Sioux Falls to discovering the Strongtowns message, seeing its value and how it relates to Sioux Falls to today, where you've stepped up, you've created this local conversation, Sioux Falls? How'd that all go down?
So I'm from Sioux Falls originally. I left for school. I studied down at University of Nebraska, Lincoln. Did that for a few years, lived in Lincoln for, I think it was 6 years or so. Then I started traveling and I went around the United States. I was doing gigs all over. I eventually did a full circumnavigation of the planet across Eurasia, went to cities all over the world and saw what was going on. And I came back to the States and I was living in California, but then I decided I needed to come back to Sioux Falls because I wanted to make a difference, but I wanted to make a difference somewhere where I'd have the most amount of impact. And I felt that going back to my hometown would make the most sense. I originally came back to focus on affordable housing. My family runs a construction company in town as well as a design firm. And as I started to dig into a lot of the specifics of how development works in the city, how things are built, organized, all of that, I started to realize that there are things at work that are very hard to change and very hard to shift. And so I started pulling back further and further and further. And I hit a point where, I had been following Strong Towns for a few years. It was in March of this year that Charles Marone came to do a talk in Sioux Falls. And just hearing him speak about the nuances, his talk is predominantly about Brainerd, which is not too far from Sioux Falls, about 4 hours away. I got a sense that this is an effort that is worth pursuing. And the Strong Towns message, it encapsulates so much of what I've been driving at for a number of years, whether it be food security, architecture that is inclusive and socially minded, or civic action or social engagement, participatory democracy. All of these things are encapsulated. So I decided, it's like, well, you know, what can I do? And I was looking around the Strongtown site and I saw the local conversation, the page that you have there. And I went there and I noticed Sioux Falls does not have a local conversation. So I was like, well, what does it take to start one? Well, and you just email. I can't remember who I emailed. I think it was you, actually.
That's right. You and I got to speak, man.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, cool. I'll get started now. So yeah, how it transpired.
I love it, Jordan. So, you know, you're stepping out of this classic Charles Marone presentation. You got this idea percolating in your mind, set up that page whenever you and I corresponded over email. What did you do next, man? Like, what's that next step from, you know, having that mental image of this group of wonderful Sioux Falls folk meeting, envisioning a stronger Sioux Falls to actually be able to spread that vision?
Well, we had to start somewhere. And actually, there was an individual who helped me start it. He essentially, it was actually, I'm not going to name names, but he was actually a reporter in town. And he helped assist in the initial steps. And essentially, we said to each other, it's like, well, how do we do this? And it was like, and we were like, well, let's meet once a week. So for the first month, it was basically him and I. That's it. Two people. That was just, we showed up at the local coffee shop. We said every Wednesday, 5:30, this is when we're going to meet. And we talked to people, say, hey, you should come. Hey, you should come. Hey, you should come. But of course, I mean, this is slow. It's like, I think in this age, we're so used to like instant gratification and instant movement that to build a movement, an actual movement, it takes time. Those first couple months, it was real slow. And then actually there was one night that I was there. I was the only one to show up. And then I noticed a few people I knew were meeting and I walked over and said, hey, what's up? And what are you doing here? And I have this Strong Towns thing. And then I started telling them about it and they were very interested. And they were like, well, we'll come back next week for it. And then they came back. And now from two people, we went to four or five. So then it was sort of this gradually gaining traction, gradually getting people on board. And I think that's with this, what I've learned is you just have to iterate. You have to stick to your guns and just keep doing it. There might be a while where you're just the only one showing up. That's just part of it. But people will come along. If you are sticking to your guns and sticking to the message, people will show up.
And I love how you mentioned the consistencies that no matter what, whether it's 2, 4, 6 people, rain, sunshine, snow, we're going to meet Wednesday 5:30 at this coffee shop. We're committed to the message. We're being consistent. If we want to spread this vision, I mean, I think about myself, the movements and the visions that have been most compelling to me is whenever we have these one-to-one interactions at first, like what you're doing, and whenever the messenger kind of shows some empathy towards me and gets to know my heart first and understands my hopes and dreams, my struggles, and then presents this vision and just aligning it with how I feel as a human. Were y'all able to practice some of this one-to-one empathy in growing the Sioux Falls local conversation, or was it mostly just meeting with friends at first? How'd that work?
I think a lot of it was just kind of just listening. Yeah, I think listening is key. When you present things, I like to say it's like, what do you want to see in the city? Or what do you think is missing? Or I think it's also very important to keep it positive. Trying to say, okay, what's something that you love about another city and you wish was here? And what are the things that are similar to that in the city? And how can we make more of it? What it comes down to, people want to be heard. They want to be heard. They want to know that there's someone out there listening. I think sometimes it depends on what's going on. There's sometimes like we have a Strong Towns meeting and we got like, there are things to do. We have to get launched on stuff. We have to move on things. And that's great. And I think usually people are actually just excited at the fact that there's something going on. Other times it's like, well, what's going on? What's happening with you? Like, you have anything you're brewing? Or you run up against? And the thing is too, I think why people do appreciate what we have going on is we don't come with an agenda. It is, you show up with what you got. Some interesting thoughts, some things that have happened, any number of things. So by doing so, it makes it very open to really anyone at any point that they are in on this journey of understanding how to build a more resilient city.
Man, this is a great segue into the cool event y'all threw. I mean, it was last week or a couple weeks ago with this community potluck, and talk about like lowering the barrier to entry to give people a sense of ownership and a sense of no matter their background, no matter their expertise, no matter their job title, that they can contribute in making Sioux Falls stronger. Can you talk about this community potluck that you threw for the local conversation?
This journey with the specific potluck started about 2 months ago. We decided that there needed to be a set of principles that the city utilized once in looking at programs, at looking at developments, construction, any number of things. Something basically like a 10 commandments that everyone could agree on that's as being consistently true. We really don't have anything like that. There's not really anything on the books. When we started like going down this journey, we kept being told, well, check out the 2040 plan or look at this plan or look at this thing. And those things were good. I'm glad the city has these plans. And a lot of it is very forward thinking. But there's nothing that, say, you or I as citizens would necessarily be able to act upon, or something I could show an 8-year-old and they would understand, like, oh, I get that. That makes sense. So we went ahead and looked at a large number of city guiding principles from around the country. The two that we used predominantly are from San Francisco and San Diego, California. Those were really well done, especially the San Diego one. They had 430 some respondents and like drafted this wonderful document that is just very thorough. And so we were like, rather than reinventing the wheel, we like looked at and combined these and sort of changed some things and whatnot. And we're like, okay, there are 19 principles that we have here. And these things are like a mobile community, good jobs, a beautiful city, pride in identity, things like that. Not overly technical, very much connected to more of the emotional side of things. So we presented these, we put these together, and we were like, okay, how are we going to unveil these to the public? Well, so my background is in theater. I know how to put on a show. So I'm like, okay, we need an installation. We need to make this an environment that's fun. It needs to have food. It needs to have music. It needs to be a party. So we made what was called the Strong Party Potluck. And so over the course of a month, we promoted towards this. I put out PR. I made posters. I had handbills, basically treating it just like I would any theatrical performance that I've ever done. And walked around the city, promoted it, gave out handbills to a bunch of people, and did a lot of work in terms of canvassing. But then I think where everything really came together was, as I mentioned, having an installation. I knew we needed something that would strike a chord, that people would look at and be wowed by, giving them a sense of awe. And so then we got some leads on some upcycled materials, assembled some boards, and then out of the woodwork, a muralist came our way, and we asked her if she was willing to jump on board on this, and she said yeah, and created this sort of intergalactic, galaxies on this almost monolithic structure that would sit in this public gathering space, the same space that we had have our meetings. And we had the potluck 5:30 on Wednesday, same meeting. So it's just it just happens to be a potluck this time. And we had probably 40 to 50 people show up. It was commented to us by numerous people that they hadn't seen such a diverse audience at an event in quite a while. Now, granted, one of the biggest notes that we got from it was it needs to be more diverse. And that's where we're at. Now that people really keyed into this event, and just to be quick about how we did the event, what we did is we got people to start thinking about what their ideal cities are. And then we asked them, okay, what's something in your city, in Sioux Falls, that is similar to that, that thing in that ideal city that you love? And then we asked, okay, if you had a multi-million dollar project, what would you build? And then you're like, oh, throw some stuff out and just kind of get their brain moving. And then we said, okay, we put out all the principles on tables, and we're like, okay, tear these apart. Put post-it notes, underline things, converse with people. Really, I mean, we really made this. And also, too, we had a comment that that it was loud. And the reason why it was loud is because so many people, there's so much energy in the room, and so many people were talking with one another. And so we got through that section, and then we get to the end of the potluck, and we say to everybody, okay, what principle stuck out to you? What was the one that you read that you just fell in love with? This was the one. Or it suggested, if there wasn't one, what would be a principle? Then we say, okay, what's happening in Sioux Falls that is in alignment with that principle? Then we ask the final question, which is, what can you do to make it true? Starting tomorrow, starting next week, some incremental actions that you can take to make it real. And the idea is that showing people that they don't have to wait for city officials to initiate on things like this. They don't have to wait for leaders. They are the leaders. They are the community leaders on that principle, on that thing, and that they can start doing that tomorrow. And so no one told me to start a local conversation. No one told us, the group, that we needed to have a potluck or have principals or have an installation or bring a DJ or any number of things. But we did it. And it, you know what? It worked. And there might have been some, I mean, there are hiccups along the way, but you learn from that. And then that's, I mean, you won't learn anything unless you do. And I think that's the big thing that we're trying to advocate for these people, is not only advocate the Strongtowns message, but also empower people to take initiative and take action.
Jordan, I love that, man, especially just the example of ownership. You know, we have all these principles out, and it's like, Jacob, like, you're really into planting plants in the corner of the neighborhood. Like, go for it, man. Like, that's going to be your thing. And I love it too, because, you know, I think naturally, whenever we choose to, you know, get out of the house, put on our walking shoes and walk around the neighborhood, naturally, as we're looking at our surroundings, you know, we're subconsciously brainstorming. We're like, oh, it'd be cool if there was like a crosswalk here. Oh, it'd be cool if there was like a nice little flower bed here. I think admittedly, it's going to be rare that solo we actually act on those ideas. It really exists in a vacuum. But it's that confidence where it's like, I got Jordan behind me saying like, Jacob, like, go for it, man. And I have more confidence to make it happen. And if it doesn't work out, say I bought the wrong soil and everything's toppling over, like, it's all good. I come back Wednesday.
Yeah. And you come back and it's not complete failure. And I don't think it ever is. I think we had a discussion of one of the folks, his name's Clint Brown. He's been assisting heavily on moving these forward. And I mean, the principles, to be fair, were his idea. We need to initiate on these baseline things. And we were having this conversation with, there's this whole issue with e-bikes in Sioux Falls. Like, Sioux Falls is behind. It takes a while for things to happen here. It takes a while for things to be like, okay, normal. And e-bikes are like, oh, this new thing that just like, they don't know what to do with. Can they be on bike paths? Can they be on sidewalks? Ideally, they'd be just in the road. But the problem is here in this city is that it is dominated by cars. And I know some towns are like, yeah, oh yeah, that's the norm. But here it's like, no, it's really unsafe to be a bike on the road in this town, like really unsafe. And so there's this whole sort of debate. And we spoke with a member of the bike community today, and they got a number of things passed with the e-bikes in terms of accepting them to be on the bike trails and things like that, like with the class one e-bike and everything. But then it was mentioned that they had failed because they didn't get everything in terms of what they wanted. And it's like, well, yeah, this time around, but you got something, right? There was a win. So just take that win and then move forward to the next thing and keep that momentum and keep chugging. I think we jumped to negativity, and I'll be honest, I was up until probably, I mean, I still am to a degree, but I mean, up until about a year ago, I was incredibly negative. I mean, I had moved back here. I was living in places like Los Angeles, Chicago. I spent a number of months in Berlin, places that are very progressive, very dynamic, all sorts of things going on. And to come to Sioux Falls, which is, I mean, it's a nice town, don't get me wrong, but it's a little behind on some things. And I think it's the thing is you just got to take the wins that you get and keep rolling.
And Jordan, earlier in the podcast, you talked about, you know, we have some meetings at the coffee shop where, you know, it's meant for brainstorming. It's meant for saying, what's up, man? How's life? What's going on with you? How can we help? But there's other times where, you know, this meeting is meant for getting down to the nitty gritty and talking about how we can take action. What's that process like, Jordan? So, you know, people are listening to this podcast. They're inspired to start a little conversation. They throw their own, whatever it's best for their neighborhood, whether it's a potluck or whatever it might be. But how do we make that shift to actually starting to take action and having more actionable conversations?
You know what you do? You set a date. You book a space. You say, it's going to happen this date. put it on the poster, and now you're held accountable. It's very easy to be like, oh, we could do this, or oh, we could do this. And if it's not connected to a date on the calendar, it sort of just floats. But the moment you root it in a designated time, like I said, it was December 5th. I knew, I was like, you know, there needs to be a potluck. There's got to be something. We need to do something. So I was like, okay, December 5th, boom, that's when it's happening. Then it becomes real. Then it's like you have to get – people are expecting something on December 5th, so you got to get it done. And what happens when you do that is it shows people that you're doing something. And once you're doing something, once they see you doing something, they're more likely to do something or at least help you do something. So it really – it's honestly like in all of this – it's really not that hard. It's actually quite simple, but you do kind of have to work over some nerves. You just have to do it.
Awesome, Jordan. So how many months are we into the Sioux Falls local conversation now?
So I think we officially started, like we run it through a Facebook group, and that started in June.
Awesome. So we're 4 or 5 months into the Strongtown Sioux Falls local conversation. Jordan, do you have any tips for, you know, just keeping your neighbors engaged through this process, helping them understand that, you know, this is incremental. The point of this group is not to concoct some big grand solution for saving Sioux Falls because, like you said, we're building a movement. This takes time, one person at a time, one small action at a time. How do you keep your peers and neighbors engaged in this long-term vision?
I think you just, like I said before, consistency. You just know that there's going to be a Strongtowns meeting on Wednesdays without fail. I mean, we met the day before Thanksgiving. It's not a thing you just stop doing. And I'll be out of town next week, but I'm sure there will be people at the source, the coffee shop that we go to. There will still be people there next Wednesday. Without fail. And that's when you know it's like I know it's gotten to a point where I don't have to be present and something still happens. That's a real good feeling. Okay, cool. I don't have to babysit this. And not to say that I de-invest or pull away, but it's like things will still happen without me being present. And that's what I want to see. I want to like the dream, the vision, so to speak, is that people are just doing things by their own volition that are rooted in the Strongtowns message, or maybe not even like they might not even come to the Strongtowns meetups, but they are doing stuff and celebrate it. Celebrate. And that's the thing too, is like in this town, it's very much it's 185,000 people or so, 265,000 within like the metro, so to speak, within all the towns surrounding it. The best description I've heard is big town, small city. You have very much this sort of like idea that only like there can only be one of everything, and you can't step on anybody's toes. And we have to like there's sort of this still very much a like cliquey tribal aspect to the city. And what I want to try and advocate is like, no, I mean, if someone wanted to start another Strongtowns meetup, like say on the south side of town, awesome, great. But yeah, let's sit down for coffee every once in a while and talk about what you guys got going on. I would love if there was conversations happening all over the city.
And listeners, this is a great reminder. I know earlier in the podcast, Jordan expressed his frustration at first moving back to Sioux Falls because, you know, he'd been in all these beautiful, sexy cities, you know, the LAs, the New York, Chicago, whatever it might be. And I was in a similar situation, Jordan. I was born and raised here in Denton, where I am now, but went to Boulder for a little bit. And I ended up coming back to Denton. And, you know, I'm like, where are all my bike lanes? Like, I can't recreate mountains. But once you come back, very rarely do you get to find yourself in a situation where you can actively contribute in making your town better. Like instead of being like, I wish I was just back in LA, Seattle, whatever, so I could have all these amenities. Like, what a cool opportunity for you to like step up and like help contribute to make those amenities a reality where you live. It's huge.
I've had to wrestle with this since I moved back. And like, I go and visit LA and I go and visit New York, and I have friends like all over the United States, and I talk to some of them and they're like, what are you doing back there? What are you trying to make or build or whatever? Like, I mean, don't you think you're going to be like more satiated when you're in like New York? And don't get me wrong. Oh, I love New York. It satiates my creative juices, all these things. You're just enamored. Like, no matter where you go, you're seeing something amazing. But in a place like New York or in a place like Los Angeles, you're merely settling. You're settling in a place. You're going to move with the standard flow. And I mean, you might see cool things, and you'll probably do cool things too, because just the mere fact of that there is creative energy happening there. The beauty of a place like Sioux Falls, with it being a boom town, it's like, just to give you an idea, Sioux Falls is one of the fastest growing cities in the country. This is a boom town. What I see is this is an opportunity to be a pioneer. It's an opportunity to build new things from a multitude of different angles. And also, this is a bit of a win today that I, about an hour ago, not even, Clint and I walked down to the mayor's office and in a packet have our 19 guiding principles and dropped it off. And he's checking it out. He's interested. And it's like, all we had to do was walk on down and drop it off. Who knows? I don't know. He might hate him and say, oh no, screw you, don't do it. But I'll say this. He's very open. He's a very progressive thinker. And there is a potential that this could become an official activity. And what my dream is if it is official, that it's like, okay, the Strong Towners are going to guide the way and help create these guiding principles, getting community feedback from the entirety of the city, and then finalizing a core set of principles that everyone or almost everyone can agree on.
I love it, man. And just going back to the origin of Strong Town Sioux Falls, I mean, you're presenting it as, how can we help make this a shared goal? You know, it's not Jordan coming in here, creating this cult, and maybe everyone to convert to his Strong Towns ways. It's no, there's a foundation of Strong Towns concepts, but let's start by hearing your story and creating some shared goals around that. And it's beautiful, Jordan.
Yeah.
Well, Jordan, to wrap up, and this is the last question that we end all the It's the Little Things podcasts with.
Mm-hmm.
How does spreading the Strong Towns message locally help make our cities and towns stronger?
I think it gets people to start thinking. I think that's, if you can get people to start thinking, even dreaming, you have done a great good. I think people are not engaging in discourse actively. I think especially when you get into these smaller communities and whatnot, it's really easy to get stuck in a rut or stuck on a path. And you might be perfectly happy. It might be perfectly great and everything's going fine. And that's cool. Or it could be the other side of it where it's like, you're stuck on like, gosh, there's so many people that can get so negative about life, about in places like Sioux Falls, where the weather kind of sucks a lot of the year. And to be quite honest, a good portion of the population probably drinks a little too much. I think it's if you can get people to start seeing that there is a way and that they can be the ones that can make that change. They don't have to wait for somebody. That's how spreading the Strong Towns message can make a town stronger.
Love it. And there's a tribe that's got your back.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Awesome, Jordan. Well, man, I appreciate you so much sharing your expertise and experiences with us, Jordan. If any listeners want to connect with you, find out more about the good work that you guys are doing with Strong Towns Sioux Falls, where can people find y'all online?
I think the easiest way is Facebook. We have a group. It's Strong Towns-Sioux Falls It's an open group. And honestly, I'm like, even though it's like, I mean, it's focused on Sioux Falls, I'd love to have you in the group. I'd love you to contribute to the conversation. And if something pops up and you can provide insight, I would say that's incredibly valuable.
Awesome. And we're also in the, are you in the Slack channel, Jordan?
I would have to look. I've been off Slack for some time. So I bet I'm connected, but I would have to re-engage.
Cool. Cause like maybe if we get that going again, another opportunity for listeners to reach out to you if they're maybe pondering their own potential community potluck, maybe get some tips on those go-to dishes.
I'd love to give you some insight. I mean, number one thing, make it fun.
Yep.
Make it fun.
Love it. Well, Jordan, thank you so much, man. And we'll chat very soon.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, friend.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying the content, please subscribe to It's the Little Things on iTunes, and we will chat next week. See ya.